News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KDL. Good evening. I'm Steve Evans with Evans Family Media. We are currently broadcasting live from the Umatilla County Library for the Umatilla County GOP Republican Committee hosted debate. The Umatilla County Republican Committee has asked me to moderate this evening's debate between candidates running for Umatilla County Commission seat C. This is the seat being vacated by Brad Horrocks, who at the end of this year will have served 2 4-year terms. The Umatilla County Republican Party wishes to thank you, Mr. Commissioner Horrocks, for the many years of service to our community. Now, the winner of the Umatilla County June Republican primary was Willis Lefevre. Mr. Lefevre is the Republican candidate. Troy Sloth is here this evening. He will be on the November ballot as an independent for the Umatilla County Commission CC. So we will later in the program have a discussion between those two individuals. Now, Umatilla County registered voters, I called the county clerk's office yesterday and was told that the Umatilla County Republican registered voters should receive their ballots by mail on or about October 15th, barring any issues, which can happen. Any questions regarding the election, including important dates, procedures, drop box locations, can all be found online at uinta.gov/election. Now, the Uinta County GOP would like to recognize and thank the staff of the Uinta County Clerk's Office for the efficient manner in which they conduct elections in Uinta County. We're much different than we are in Pennsylvania, aren't we? And we're grateful for that. This evening's debate is being broadcast, as I mentioned, on News Talk KDL. There will be a rebroadcast of this evening's debate at 6 p.m. on Thursday evening on 104.5 FM and AM 920 KBEL. Now, each candidate is provided with a microphone from which this program will be recorded and announced to everyone in the audience. We ask that each candidate speak directly into the microphone so that the audience and our listeners can hear your answers and hear your comments. Now, questions for this evening's debate have been provided through an online solicitation of Uinta County's registered Republican voters. Subjects include potential tax increases and budget, water availability and protection, transparency in our local government, public trust, council form of government, annexation, and if time permits, economic growth. We appreciate you joining us online and on air. Steve Evans, the moderator for this evening's debate, which is being broadcast live from the Uinta County Library. We'd like to thank the staff at the Uinta County Library for the great effort that they made to accommodate us here this evening. We have a great facility here in Uinta County, and it's wonderful to be able to use this. Now, I'd like to jump into the debate rules. As I mentioned, we have Willis Lefevre. He is a candidate for Commission Seat C, which is being vacated by Brad Horrocks. He is the Republican candidate. We also have independent Troy Sloth. We appreciate you both being here today. Now, I have some debate rules. I want to go over those with everyone here. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes. I need someone to volunteer to set their stopwatch on their phone. You'll do that, Matt Corbin. Thank you. Each candidate will be given up to 2 minutes for an opening statement. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes also to respond to each question. Response times will be moderated, and the audience is asked to interrupt the candidate with a polite pause should they go over time. Now, the moderator may ask some follow-up questions if the moderator feels that the question was avoided or insufficiently answered by the candidate. Now, the candidate would then be given an additional 1 minute to clarify his response. Now, candidate questions will be given on an alternating basis, with candidate A receiving the first question first, then candidate B will receive the second question first, and so on. So we'll go back and forth between the candidates so that it's fair and equal. Now, time permitting, there will be a question and answer period immediately after the debate. We anticipate this section of our program this evening to last about 15 minutes. Let's begin with you, Troy Sloth. And let's give you 2 minutes to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and why you would like to serve as our UIN County Commissioner. Troy Slaw.
I am Troy Slaw. I've told Steve several times that I'm not an independent. I'm unaffiliated, which means I'm a free thinker. I'm not bound by any party. And I'm in a great position to just make the best decisions for UIN County based on the facts. I am a Bay Bend native. I've spent most of my life here, pretty much my entire life here. I'm a 1992 graduate of UIN High School. I served the LDS Church Mission in French Polynesia, where I learned to speak French and Tahitian, and mostly I learned how to love a bunch of islands and a bunch of great, amazing people. I came home from Mission Field and went almost straight into the police academy within 3 days. And then I proceeded to spend 17 years serving this community, or no, 21 years serving this community as a police officer. The last 17 years of those were with UIN County Sheriff's Office. In 2002, my first daughter was born. She inherited her mom's good looks and her dad's anxiety and busy mind. In middle school, she was diagnosed with autism. And, of course, that brings a lot of challenges. Now she's at Utah State University, late in her college career. In 2005, my second daughter, Jackie, was born. She was born with the same heart defect as Sean White. And she's currently 19 years old and at Dixie College. She is my best friend and maybe the best human I know. And that segues into why I'm doing this. A, I miss them and I need something to do with my time. And I'm a better human when I'm involved in a cause that's greater than myself. And I'm fully committed to being involved in that kind of way of doing accounting. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, Willis LaFever. Same question. Why, explain your background, introduce yourself, qualifications for office, and explain why you would like to serve as our UIN County Commissioner.
Thank you, Steve. Willis LaFever here. I'm a Utah native. I come here in 1981. My father was here with the National Park Service. I come off an LDS mission from Alabama. I moved here. Going to go back to Utah State and finish an architect degree. I chose not to do that. I ran into this little redheaded gal over here and couldn't leave her alone, so I kind of stuck around. I've lived here for 43 years. I worked in the oil and gas industry for 35 years. I don't know if these numbers right, so I'm looking at her. 15 of those 35 years was in the field. 20 of those was in the office as procurement, materials, and logistics manager. I've been involved in the agriculture business for 55 years, since I was a young boy, being paid for that. And I've been a private business owner for about 35 years. Lots of experience. The oil and gas community, I think, is important. I understand the people. I understand what you're going through. I've lived that life. I've walked in those shoes. As procurement materials and logistics manager, I dealt with millions and millions of dollars. I mean, you know, there with Albert, I understand that game. I was also an auditor with the company, and I have a diverse background in that as well. Materials, I handled everything that was bought and sold through that company locally. At one point, we were at about $90 million a year, almost $1 billion a year. So I understand what that takes and how to do that. Logistics, trucking company, I still an owner-operator.
Okay, well, Mr. Peter, stand right there because we're going to go with you on the first question. We're going to follow up with Troy Slaw. Now, these are not soft questions. I want to prepare the audience. Number one, it includes proposed tax increases. Due to a recent change in the Utah legislation, all of Utah counties were given an option to increase sales tax from 6.45% here in UIN County to 6.75%. which is an estimated equivalent to just over $5 million. Now, this was earmarked for the purpose of helping to fund the public safety through the county sheriff's office. Uinta County Commissioner sought to implement this tax without any public input, resulting in a signature-gathering effort for a referendum to be placed this matter on the November ballot. Now, there's a two-part question here. Do you support the proposed sales tax increase as was presented? And secondly, do you believe the Uinta County Sheriff's operating budget would have increased by $5 million, or would that money have been diverted from that budget to have been spent elsewhere later?
Thank you. The referendum, I did not sign the referendum. That was by my choice. That's my choice as the voter whether to do that or not. I did educate on the referendum with everyone I talked. I talked to hundreds and hundreds of people, and I give them the choice of what I knew about it, and I asked them to each make their own decision, straight up. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do as far as that goes. As far as the referendum going, the $5 million, one of my concerns up front was, is that all going to be to the county, and how about all the other municipalities such as Naples City and Vernal City? The taxes are coming out of their citizens too, and do they get to participate in some of those incomes? As far as things that I see that I'm concerned about, when we look at what that was supposed to go to, over budget, the sheriff is asking for a $2 an hour raise for all the his law enforcement staff. Watch guard, the camera system that the officers use on them, and they tell me without those videos they can't get convictions. That funding has always been paid by a grant. That grant has gone away. We have to pick that up. Absolute necessity. The PLC in the sheriff's office in the jail is going out. That PLC controls all the water in the cells getting locked in and out, and that has to be replaced. That's about $250,000 for that. The intercom system in the jail, and I can go on and on with those things, but if there's not money there to do those things, it is absolute necessity. We have to do something because we have to take care of our first responders, our police folks, and make sure the jails work properly.
Quick follow-up question. Do you believe that money would have been diverted elsewhere for county budget?
I believe that proposed $5 million would land in the sheriff's county, in the county sheriff's department, but I'm not convinced 100% that other monies wouldn't be pulled away from it to cover other things.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Troy Swann, same question. Do you support the proposed sales tax increases presented? And secondly, do you believe the Uinta County Sheriff's operating budget would have actually increased by $5 million, or would that money have been diverted from that budget to have been spent elsewhere in the county?
Yeah, no, I do not. I'll just be very clear. No, I do not support the property tax increase. I do not support the sales tax increase. Very clear. I'm glad that Willis was upfront about that, and that's one very huge differentiation between me and I. I don't like the process they went through, and I frankly don't like the tax. The tax increase. Here's how I know that this was not intended to go fully to the sheriff's office. In November, when we were talking about property and tax increase, we were told that we were between $3 and $5 million in deficit. That failed for various reasons. 4 or 5 months later, we're proposing this new tax that's going to the sheriff's office. Okay, if that was really the case, don't we still need to be talking about the $3 to $5 million that we were short in October? We're not talking about that because it never was intended to go 100% other than technically on paper into the sheriff's budget. And frankly, if it was all going into the sheriff's budget, would that even be appropriate? Because his road budget, road detectives admin budget, is $6.5 million. His jail budget is $8 million. A $5 million increase to either of those budgets would be a huge, huge increase, even if he needs money. That's a pretty big bite to take. I don't know if we knew that it was going in every penny. I don't know that our community is ready to take that bite of that huge of an increase. We need to cut some stuff, right? These commissioners need to start listening to the community. The community is saying, hey, times are tight. Let's cut. Just listen to us. Show that you can listen to us and make some cuts. And then maybe in the future we can do some things differently. Hey, I believe in taking care of Steve and the sheriff's office. I believe in taking care of every department in our
Corey Swap, thank you. Thank you very much. Stay up here. We're going to ask you another question. You partially answered this question because it segues into, in the fall of 2023, the Uinta County Commissioner sought to implement a 73.11% increase in the county's portion of property taxes. It was estimated that this increase would have amounted to an additional $5 million in the county's revenue. Now, the outgoing commissioners then reported an operating surplus of just over $8.5 million and $57.9 million in unrestricted available cash in the bank from 2024. The public's confused. Does Uinta County currently have the financial means to meet its obligations in 2025, or is a tax increase warranted? And if you feel that a tax increase is warranted, please explain the change in the county's financial status from 2022 to 2024.
Yeah, in my estimation, the public's confused, the commissioners are confused, we're all confused. I'll tell you an example of one of the things that we keep hearing, right? If we're going to do this referendum or if we're going to shoot down the property tax, we keep hearing a response from our current commissioners. Okay, then we're going to have to cut. What do you want us to cut? And as I'm out talking to people, campaigning, talking to the citizens of this county, all I hear over and over again is, okay, cut. And then Joe's answer is always, what do you want us to cut? And I hear resoundingly, we don't care what you cut. Just listen to us. Show that you can make the cut. And then maybe down the road when we trust you and we see that you're taking care of our money, we can do something different. It is confusing when you've got the former commission that says we've got all this money. You've got the current commission that says we don't have this money. You've got Mike Wilkins in the middle. The real answer to that is using the ClearGov software that I will fight for that will put the books on the internet in a way that we, even the most simple people like me, can understand where the money's at, where it's being spent, and what we have. That's the answer. That's the answer to transparency, and that's the answer to understanding what's going on. We're going to be fine. We're going to survive. We've got enough to figure it out. But we've got to resolve the transparency, the honesty, the upfrontness, and we've got to show where that money's at, where it's not.
Troy Slaw, one quick further follow-up here. As commissioner, would you be upfront with the public and honest about our financial condition with the county, and could we trust you?
How could you not be? Isn't that your job? And if it's a problem, if it's trouble, if it's not great, let's deal with it. Let's confront it upfront.
Okay, thank you very much. Willis Lefebvre, same question. Does Uinta County have the financial means to meet the obligations in 2025, or is a tax increase warranted? And if you feel a tax increase is warranted, please explain the change in the county's financial status from 2022 to 2024.
Okay, none of us like taxes. I don't. I spend my life trying to beat the government out of them. That's what they think, sirs. It's not fine. I can't get one of you to raise your hand in here to say you want to pay more taxes. If you do, I'm sure they'll take it. Once, a couple things I need to make clear. When we go back to the 2002, I guess the 73.11%, that was a snapshot. As an auditor, it never was. That was a proposed. That's where they were at that point when they had to post it to the state. Before the meeting, it was cut from there and continued on. I get that as an auditor, and it didn't need to be finalized until December 31st of that year. Great. it didn't go, and it didn't happen. I mean, you know, it didn't happen. So I want to talk about things right now that is, that to me is a bigger deal. They were short $5 million at that time. After being spending three complete days doing the budget, they're short $7.1 million right now, $2.1 million more than they were then. I am more concerned about now what we're looking at going forward than I am what happened 2 years ago. That is a bigger concern to me. As far as is there enough money, I believe there's enough money. As far as that goes, you know, I made a comment in an interview with Steve Evans that I thought we needed to look at our budget and have about 30% on hand. I have now learned through Vernal City and what they did that number by the state is actually 35%. That's what they're allowed to have. If they don't, they have to give it back or move it to other fundings to do things. But that's law. Again, the sheriff's department is $1.2 million short to meet their budget. Wages is up $500,000. Library is still not enough.
All right, Willis LaFever, thank you very much. Let's have, where are we at with the location? Willis, stay up here. Stay up here. Transparency and trust in local government. Many in the public are of the opinion that there is a lack of transparency from our local county government officials. The mistrust caused by the alleged lack of transparency is causing many in the public to oppose some of the proposed infrastructure projects in the county, and it's causing problems about proposed financial needs, and everything that the county presents to the public is questioned. Do you feel that there is a lack of transparency in Uinta County from local leaders? And is there a lack of public trust? If so, as commissioner, what would you do to change these perceptions?
There's definitely a lack of trust, and it's got to get fixed. As far as transparency goes, it's not easy for me to stand up here and say and give you absolute numbers that the county is short and talk about in that tax question. It is what it is, and I don't want taxes. Got to get that. But I also trying to tell you the reality of what the numbers are and what they're saying and what they're thinking. In April, I had attended well over 100 meetings. Now it's probably pushing 300 meetings. That's where you get that information, is by attending and just not by listening to the words, but watching their behaviors, their demeanor as they answer the questions. Their demeanor tells you more than their words ever will. You have to be there. And every time I go to one of those meetings, y'all see, if you choose to, you see a list of my notes of what I saw and what I heard. That's pretty transparent. And I would continue to do that. That's an example that I believe I have set for whether it's me or whether it's, who are you there? and the current commission, follow that example. Let people know what's going on. That is the beginning. Those planning meetings is the very beginning. And report on it. Tell it, make it known to the people. You got to do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Willis LaFever. Troy Swan, you get the final word on this question. Same question. Do you feel there's a lack of transparency in Uinta County from local leaders? And is there a lack of trust from the public? If so, as commissioner, what would you do to change these perceptions?
Yes, there is. And it's not just us, statewide. That's the number one issue in rural Utah when you act in surveys. It is mistrust and lack of transparency with their local government. It's going to take work. It's going to take communication. I'm going to go back real quick to two things. One, Willis talked about a 35% basically slush fund, and I'm concerned that that's even a more of an increase. Secondly, he talks about making notes from the meetings and how that's the way you're going to find out what's going on. And that's literally reporting on something that happened after the fact. That's not helping anybody. But what would help people is to let them know what's going on before it's about to happen. Educate, bring coalitions, help people understand why things are happening. Okay? To the question, yes, there's a lack of transparency. It's been a problem. It has certainly hasn't been helped by Sonia's comments, right? It hasn't been helped. The only way to fix this, make the cuts that the community is asking for, listen to our community, talk to our community, communicate before we make decisions, listen, do better agendas. I see counties all across this state that do better agendas that explain what they're doing without you having to show up and guess what they're doing before you even, you know, you have to attend the meeting to even understand what they're proposing to do. It's going to take work. It's going to take somebody who can communicate, talk to the people, get out, and not just report what somebody else did after the fact. I think it's going to take a lot more work than that. And we're going to have to make those cuts that the community is asking us to make. Stop trying to raise the taxes. Make the cuts. Talk to people. Listen to people more than you talk.
Okay. Carissa, thank you very much. Next two questions concern county water supply and protection. Uinta County is proposing a vertical trail, which would be a rock climbing recreational facility called Via Ferrata. Now, the construction on this recreational feature, which was funded by a state grant, and will also provide for water seep resource protection, has already been partially constructed. The location of this facility is in the Ashley Gorge, which location of the Ashley Springs, which supply much of the water. I believe it's about 80% of the water to the greater Vernal area. Now, this project has divided our community, with proponents arguing that this type of recreational facility will not negatively affect our water source and will support efforts to diversify the county's economic base through increased tourism. Opponents of the project argue that our water source will be compromised and that the county should not allow for any recreation to be near or around the springs. Others have stated their opposition because they don't trust the county would be good stewards of protecting this spring. All right, what is your position on the issue? Do you feel the water source would be compromised should the public be allowed to use this facility? Or could the two coexist together through proper water protection and mitigation efforts?
Well, I have to say that I think the protection of our water rights and these issues may be the most important thing we have going on. And I think each one of these water issues is quite nuanced and very detail dependent. I'm paying attention. I'm listening. I've got numerous sources that are very involved and understand water. I'm listening to them. I'm listening to all the sides to these things. I'll be frank. I've got a lot of people that support me that are very opposed to the Via Ferrata project and where it's at. And as where I stand right now, after reading everything that I have, I'm not convinced that it's a danger to our water source. I'm very concerned with the process we went through. I'm very concerned with, again, the transparency, the process, all these things. I mean, we've got a project that was a grant, which is great, state money that helped for this project, and we're $400,000 of the $600,000 is spent. We keep talking about whether it should be moved or whether it should not. And there's just a lot of misinformation about this project. And frankly, I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be moved, whether we want it to or not. So I think the best thing for us to do would be start talking about how we can make the best of it, how we can protect the water source. But it's very detailed. I don't have time in 2 minutes, but I'm convinced that it's not a danger to our water source any more than almost anything else that could happen right now. So I'm not, at this point, I'm still listening, but I'm not super opposed to the Via Ferrata project.
All right. Thank you very much. Louis Lefevre, same question. What is your position on this issue? And do you feel our water source will be compromised, and should the public be allowed to use the facility, or could the two coexist together if proper water protection and mitigation efforts were put into effect?
I'm going to take a page out of Troy's book real quick and go back and talk about a comment I made there real quick. The notes, if you talk to the commissioners before, you're going to get their opinion. The only time they can talk as a group is when they meet together as a quorum. So anytime, any information you get before that is simply their opinion, and I'm tired of their opinions. And so when the meetings happen, that is the reality of what they're thinking and saying. I love the Via Ferrata project. I think it meets the needs of a different demographic of people. The cost is right. I don't love the location. I'm sure they do. I was up there this week. It was absolutely stunning and gorgeous. What I don't like is the susceptibility of our water and what could, you know, happen there. I think I have taken the stance, and I'll remain with that stance. I voted in a board of people who are water professionals. I'm counting on them to do their job and to keep me and you and our community safe as far as the water goes on. If they buy into it, then I guess I can get behind it. As of this afternoon, at probably 2 o'clock, there was talk that the Via Ferrata could possibly be changed. By the end of that meeting at 4:30 this afternoon, they were all out. We're not going to work with the county commission. And we're going to do our own thing. And you will see that letter here shortly making that statement. So it's ongoing. I've seen it change a couple times just today in that Ashley Valley Water and Sewer meeting. It went from noon to 4:30. And that was primarily the topic. It's just going on and on and on around in circles.
Okay, very much. Very good. Thank you very much. Water supply. You get the first go on this one. Ashley Valley Water and Sewer District is currently not issuing any new water connections within the district, which includes a large portion of Uinta County due to what they're saying is lack of available water. This has complicated plans of property owners in this district who seek to build on their property and some retail businesses operating within the district who want to expand. Is there enough available water within the county to accommodate growth, or is there a water supply shortage? And secondly, what would you or could you do as Uinta County Commissioner to help address this problem?
There's plenty of water in the county right now. It's not in the right bucket. I talked about it, that at the Republican convention. Our water pro is right here. He can answer this question better than anybody else that I know. We've got to get it in the right bucket. Is there water available? Yes. Ashley Valley Sewer's going to have to step up and purchase the water, whatever it costs. Your rates might go up, but they might. If you want water, that's what's going to happen. It has to. As far as down the road goes, we've got a project that's proposed down on the Green River for a lot of water. A lot of water. From the numbers I've heard, we got about a year and a half to make that decision, or it's going to be sold downstream. We're not going to have that option anymore, and that's really our lost water source. We're going to have to man up, do what we have to do, bite the bullet if you will, and we have to make that pump project on the Green River work, or we're going to be dry down the road. So was there another part of that question, something on this one?
The other part of the question is, what would you do to, as Uinta County Commission, help assess the problem? And to clarify, is there a water shortage in the county?
I think they clarified that. We got water.
We have enough water.
We have enough water currently. Just got to get it in the right place.
To meet the needs of the growth, including within
the
Ashley Valley Water
Service. Right now, the problem we have right now, it's not in the hands of the right people. You have Pearl City trying to work with Ashley Valley and what's going on there. There's water. It's just we got to get it in the right pipe and the right system, and they got to, the right entity has to own the water. It's not a matter of if water is available. It's a voting issue. Straight up, Ashley Valley would accept water rights without the voting. You'd have water. You'd have water glory.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, Troy Slaw. Is there enough available water in the county to accommodate our growth? And or is there a water supply shortage? And secondly, what would you do as our county commissioner in Uinta County to address this problem?
I have to trust the professionals that I've talked to, that I continue to talk to, and everything I hear is there. But it's just like what I said. I agree. It sounds like it's in the wrong hands. We've got to figure that out. Some of that is just dependent on the water company. They've each got their interests and their reasons for doing what they're doing. I don't necessarily believe or agree with all of those reasons as far as not allowing building, but that's just kind of what it is. The company can decide their, however they're going to do it. As far as the piping situation from the Green River, the professionals that I've been talking to are telling me that that's unrealistic because we've got so many other options before then. And to do that piping, we would be talking $2-4 billion. But I'll continue to listen about water. I think water is important. I think it's one of our most important issues. And I'll fight the fight, but I'm not the biggest expert on those things. Our water is important for so many reasons, for our growth, for our farmers, for all of us. And I'm just committed to the fight, but I'm certainly not the expert in water. I can read code. I can talk code. I can understand code. I can deal with politicians. I can shake hands and try to make things happen. But I'm not your water expert.
Okay. Thank you, Troy. Stay up here, buddy. If you're just joining us online or on the air, this is AM 920 KVEL. And 104.5 FM News Talk. I am Steve Evans. We are broadcasting live from the Uinta County Library, the Uinta County GOP Republican Committee sponsored debate. We are having a conversation between candidates for Commission CEC, Willis Lefebvre and Troy Slaw. Question number six, city annexation. Heritage Chevrolet is planning to build a new Chevrolet dealership within the county, which is really great news. It is located within the Ashley Water and Sewer District, just outside of the Vernal City limits. Now, plans to build this dealership are currently suspended because of lack of available water hookups. Vernal City has the water available and has offered to annex this property into the city limits, which would allow the dealership to be built. As commissioner, what are your feelings about retail growth and annexation? Should the county keep the project within the county for sales and property tax revenue, or as commissioner, would you support the proposed annexation of this property into Vernal City? I want to mention also that if this were to remain in the, or to be transferred to the city, the county would still receive property tax and sales tax revenue, although with a lesser amount.
Yeah, so I'm really concerned about, I guess we've addressed what happened a few weeks ago. We had water shares that we talked about dispersing for one for Heritage, and I was really concerned about that because I think that's a weird precedent. So I'm glad we pulled back from the county being willing to try to cut a deal with a company to keep the tax base or keep them building in a certain place. Again, this issue of not allowing building permits is a company issue, a water company issue, and it's kind of beyond our control. I will say that most people that I talk to aren't super hip or excited about growth in our community. I personally am for growth, consistent, small, just steady growth. I think it's healthy for our community. But most of the citizens I talk to don't want a bunch of growth. And as a commissioner, I've got to represent those citizens. But I think there's a lot of reasons why growth, consistent, steady growth is healthy. Because of the cards we're given right now with the building permits, I would support an annexation request from citizens and for businesses, no matter what the cost for Uinta County itself, because I think it's just the honest way to do things and the realistic way to resolve problems. You know, I would hate to have somebody that's bought a bunch of property expecting to develop it for their own home, and then they're just stuck with this property because of some dispute or disagreement between water companies. And I think that the right thing to do, the honest and moral thing to do in that case, is allow those annexations to take place. And that's where I'm at.
Okay, follow-up question. Just to clarify your position on this issue, are you in support of retail growth within the county, specifically Vernal City, and do you support John Weiss's plans to build a heritage Chevrolet dealership in Vernal?
I support growth. And I support to the extent that any government official should support an individual business. I think Heritage Ford's been good to our community, and I think that our community should continue to, our government should treat them in a manner that you treat an organization that's good for your community, a good steward of our, takes care of us, takes care of our people. So I'm in support of that, but at the end of the day, to make that happen, I'm probably going to have to allow some annexation.
All right, thank you very much. Willis LaFever, let's get you up here. City annexation, the proposed Heritage Chevy dealership. As commissioner, what are your feelings about retail growth and annexation? Should the county keep the project within the county for sales and property tax revenue, or as commissioner, would you support the proposed annexation of this property into Vernal City so that this dealership can be built?
Growth is absolutely a necessity. They control growth. The numbers I hear is around 5%, maybe it's the 8 just to say, just to keep a healthy community. I support that. I think we have to do that. As far as the annexation, I think I, being a citizen, you as citizens, our needs need to be number one. They need to take care of us. And if it takes annexation so that we can build homes and we can have dealerships and we can have those things, then absolutely we have to do whatever we have to do. And if it's annexation, it's annexation. It was proposed that the water be transferred from Vernal City to Ashley Valley in their line on the 10-year deal. I can tell you this afternoon that changed and that motion was made to do that for 30 years with the review in 15 years. So that can happen. As far as growth, I'll touch on that once again. We have some entities that are doing incredible things in the government. And I hear a lot of flack about the convention center. You know, the convention center payment is made by impact mitigation. That doesn't cost us. Granted, it's other monies, but they're within about $250,000 to $300,000 being self-sustaining as far as that goes. That's a lot of growth. You know what we don't have to get people in our community? We don't have motels. We're the highest priced motels in the state of Utah. If you want a business opportunity, I suggest you look at a motel. It's there. The need is there. We need people and set it up for long-term stay. Talk to Vernal City. It's part of their agenda to do that. I support the dealership. It needs to happen.
Okay. Follow-up question. Annexation. Are you in support of annexing property for retail businesses in the Vernal City? Are they in a better position to manage it than the county?
UNA County can't service it. I mean, you know, that's not their job anyway, and Ashley Valley and Naples City has got something worked out to make it happen. And like I say, the citizens, the community is number one.
Okay.
Figuring that out.
Let's move on, staying where you're at. Council form of county government. There's a group of citizens within UNA County that are asking UNA County commissioners to form an exploratory committee from the council form of the government, with maybe a 5, 7, 9 or part-time city council members and full-time county manager. The second option would be to gather signatures for a referendum to put the matter on the ballot if the exploratory committee is not formed, similar to the sales tax issue. What are your feelings about changing the management of our county from a 3-member commission to a council form of government? We can't get along in our commission right now. We have two members of our commission that are making decisions and having all the discussions, and the third one is left out. Now, that third one, it represents a good percentage of citizens here in Uinta County, and they are left voiceless. That's the argument that's being made for the county form of governance. And in all fairness, I should mention that this happened with the previous county commission administration, where one member was left out of the county commission trio.
Seems to be an ongoing problem, doesn't it? I've talked to some of the counties that's done that, Cache County being one of the larger ones. My advice from not only the people on the council, but also the citizens, don't go there. It's a short-term fix. In the long run, it's not what you want to have. I had the opportunity to talk to, whether you like him or love him, he's been in the know. I had the opportunity to spend about an hour and a half with Phil Lyman, and this is one of our major topics. Phil advised me on many things. He said, don't go there. It's a short-term fix, and in the long term, you will regret it. That's what I'm hearing from those entities. As far as my opinion on it goes, I'm going to tell you right now that I spend, currently for the last 2.5 years, I've spent probably 20 to 30 hours a week in meetings and doing stuff. If you want me to spend another 40 hours a week for half the pay, I'm not interested in it personally. If the community wants it, fine, we'll go there. I think as far as the one commissioner being left out is a travesty. I think there's bigger dynamics than the form of government that is driving that and the way it's working. And the behavior is repulsive amongst that group. And that has to get fixed. Nothing will fix poor behavior other than individuals changing themselves willingly. That's the only thing that will fix it.
Willis LaFever, if you have, follow-up question, if you have a difference of opinion with another commissioner and you don't like them personally, could you respect them enough to get along with them and respect their opinion?
Yes.
And hear their position on it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Troy Slaw, same question. What are your feelings about changing the management of our county from a three-member commission to a council form of government?
Yeah, I'm open to continuing to kind of listen to this. Much like Willis, I agree with most of what he said. I've talked to a lot of people. I've listened to a lot of commission meetings from commissions around the state, different makeups, and I'm not convinced I've seen anything out there that is any more effective. I do love what Vernal City's got going on with Quinn Benyon. If we can hire Quinn Benyon today and get a commitment from him that he'll be with us, I say we give it a good run and change in the government. That's probably not going to happen. I think what's more important to change the form of government is that you've got people in there that are doing the job, listening, and just actively doing the job that's expected of them, showing up, advocating for the positions, working their tails off, to do what they said they would do when they ran for office. They said they'd advocate for Uinta County. And then on top of that, we gave them a huge salary. And some of them don't even show up for work. And that's unacceptable. And that would be unacceptable in a 5-person or a 7-person or a 3-person. We've got to change the culture of our government, and that's going to take openness, transparency, somebody that's willing to communicate, somebody that's willing to just go through some of those hard moments with the backbone. Somebody with the strength to be able to disagree adamantly, strongly, and make a point, not just disagree because it's personality. Disagree, share facts, educate, try to work together, and listen. Mostly listen. If we change government, I'll be there to make the best of it. But I think, for me, I want the 3-person form of government because I want to be able to put in 40, 50, sometimes 55, 60 hours of work a week at the legislature doing the things that matter for you in the county, making sure that the laws that are passed don't adversely affect us.
Okay. Closing comments. Troy Slott.
Well, at this point, I don't have a ton to say.
I'm prepared to do this job. I want to do this job. I will work my tail off. I need this job, right? I need to keep my kids in college. And I'll work like a person that knows how important that salary is for me, but also knows how important it is to this county and making this county a strong, vibrant place that it needs to be for my kids when they come back. I worked hard when I was at the sheriff's office, and I'll work hard for you in commission. We'll change the culture of this commission. It might not be easy, but we'll change the culture. We'll communicate. We won't read. Well, I guess maybe we will. John can get up and read at the end of the commission meeting that this is the 15 minutes for public comment, and we're not going to respond to questions, and we're basically not going to listen to you, and just go ahead. I don't care if he says that three times. If I'm in your commission, and you get up and make a comment and have a question, I'm going to answer your question if I can answer it. We're going to communicate. We're going to have better dialogue. We're going to have better agendas if I have to write it myself. We can improve Uinta County, and I will do that for you. I will fight that. It won't be easy, but I will fight to make this organization better. And I promise you that, and I'm asking for your vote.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Seaver, final 2 minutes, final 4 minutes. Impressions you want to leave on our voting on your potential constituents in Uinta Basin?
First of all, thank you for the citizens of the Uinta County and for the process and allowing me, not only me, but all of us to participate in this government and for this great country and this great county communities which we represent. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to be your county commissioner. I want to be obedient to the reason that I'm here. I feel it was a calling I was given, and I'm doing my dangest to do the best that I can. I've exhausted my resources. I've exhausted my time. I have given up my health. I've given up tons of money in my private and personal businesses to do it. If you choose me, you keep getting what you've got, and there's no one that will, you will find anyone in the community that will offer. There might be better qualified candidates. They're not running, but no one will outwork me. That's just a fact. As far as that goes, I'm gonna take just a second to say this man standing right back here in the back, Cole Kelly, the man's a stud. If you have the opportunity to talk with him, take it. Ask him about his beliefs on education and the way people learn and what he would provide for are people like me that learn different, that don't test well. We only need so many lawyers. I need my car fixed, and the trades need to come back, and we need to take care of that. He's your man right there, Paul Kelly.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to say, before we turn it over to the audience for a minute, I know both of these individuals very well. Been friends with them for a long time. I know what their values are. I know what they stand for. I made a mistake earlier this evening by referring to Troy as an independent. He is unaffiliated. I know he has conservative values. The county is going to be fine with either one of these fine men. I hope that you take time to visit with them, and I hope some of your questions have been answered this evening, and you get to know them, and vote your conscience and vote with your intellect. And let's make this county a better place to live, work, and play. All right, for those just joining us, this is News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KBEL. We're going to turn it over to the audience right now. We are broadcasting live from the Uinta County Library, where the Uinta County Republican Party is hosting a debate for the county commissioners. And if someone has a question, please keep it short, if you will. And let's go ahead. We're going to take like 4 questions, okay? Is that good, or we'll take it? Yeah, 4 questions. Good. Make your questions brief, and let's move on. Thank you.
This question is for Willis. Willis, earlier in the debate, you said when we were talking about water, in order for growth, if that means that we have to increase our water bills because of growth, I want to understand if we have to increase, why do we have to go into the pockets to increase our water bills for growth. If we're doing that, what prevents you, if you're elected as commissioner, to accept a tax increase?
Before you answer that question, Brad, could you introduce yourself briefly?
Yes, my name is Bradley Trady, and I am with the, I'm asking the question as a citizen, but I am the treasurer for the Uinta County Republican Party.
Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Why should we have to? There is no free water. Hear that again. There is no free water. It's owned by somebody. It's on the free market. Supply and demand drives it. If you have water sales, shares that you can sell it. Certain ones, but you can sell it. And whatever price you ask, they can pay, or they have to pay if they want the water. Ashley Valley can get water. But there's people that have water. I've heard that they may have to pay up to, and this came from one of the board members, as high as $80,000 a share for water. Do you want water or do you not want water? The Green River Pump Station down the road is going to be expensive. It's a lot. But in a year and a half from now, from the numbers I'm hearing, that is not going to be available. It won't come back. Water is our absolute most precious commodity on the planet. Do you want it or do you not? If you want it, we're going to have to do some hard things, make some hard decisions, and that's probably going to come with a cost. Straight up.
Okay, thank you. We have another question over here. Do you want to name your give your name and then ask your question?
Jordan Murray.
Both candidates, please.
Okay, Jordan Murray. First up, I just want to say, Willis, I'm glad you can make it to those meetings because I think 90% of us in this room, and I know Troy included, have jobs and can't make it to those meetings. What is your stance on moving those meetings to later hours after business hours, just like Vernal City does, Naples City does, so that people can be included in those conversations?
In all fairness, I want to make sure that we're fair with both people. Troy, would you want to answer that question followed by you? Is that okay, Willis? All right.
Yeah, I'm totally getting Jordan. We've talked about this before, so this is no surprise to you, but I don't know why we couldn't do two meetings a month where normal people should make it. Just change things up in a way that's more transparent, more open. But I think every candidate that's ever run for office in the last 25 years has said that. I still haven't seen it happen. So, I think we ought to give it a shot. I think it's worth it. And I'm open to that. I think it's important.
Willis, your feelings on making the meetings more available and accessible to the public?
I've had the same conversations. What I get, the answers I get, boils down to you. Boils down to us, the citizens. The story they tell me is they've tried it many times before, and what happens? The same five people that show up at noon or at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday show up that evening. And so what it does is it forces the county employees to work more, and there's no more benefit. So I'm going to tell you, and myself included, if you want that to happen, start showing up to the meetings in numbers. Voice your opinion, and then tell them, whether it's public comment or wherever it's at, get on the agenda, wherever it's at, and say, look, there's a lot of us who's showing up, and we need it to be a different time. And push the issue. But it starts with you and me getting involved and participating and showing up to those meetings. We can control that by our behaviors. And our poor behaviors is what's keeping that from happening.
Okay, thank you, Willis. Follow up really quick. Let's make it quick.
I just want to say I am a county employee, and even I don't have the ability to.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Would you mind stating your name?
Both steps. I'm just curious. I guess either one of you. I guess both are going to answer. How do you approach the transparency issue? We've talked about increasing budgets. We've talked about, of course, there has to be some form of a tax increase over X amount of time. The problem that we are all facing is that nobody has the ability to vote, have a say, to know even what's going on for that matter. Some of the budgets, something that I can never understand, is why do my taxes need to go up for my neighborhood just because somebody put a house up on the end of the road? Those guys are now paying taxes. They now have a lot. Their taxes are all the same. Why does the road budget need increased for us to do snow removal when they're paying those same taxes?
Okay, who wants to take that first? Jump up there. Willis LaFever.
I'm not sure I understand your question completely, but roads and snow plowing and why you, if you're not getting it, will you clarify just a little bit for me?
Just using that as an example, I'm talking about all of the taxes, where all of our taxes are going, whether it is road maintenance, whether it is water. If somebody's purchasing a home and building it, do they not pay those taxes? I don't understand. How is that not covered when they start to pay those taxes? To me, that should cover their house. It shouldn't be something that the entire neighborhood has to come up with a couple extra pennies to cover their water.
So we're, for starters, we're very fortunate this county with monies that we receive that for B Road counties, B Road money, and that is a great blessing to us. We have quite a bit of B Road money. I believe it's close to $20 million, and I think we need to do a better job at spending that. As far as snow removal, I have holdings on the west side of the community that I spend about half of my time over there during the summer, and they have the same gripe of, you know what, I don't get service. My road never gets plowed. So that's got to get looked at. I think that's a fairly easy solution. We need to look at all of our roads, not only for snow plowing and maintenance and those kinds of things, but also ones that we have on the books as roads that really probably aren't county roads, and some, you know, that we just have to, there has to be some maintenance there of the whole process, and it's doable. It's going to take some work, but you know, it's there, and step the cowboy up, make it happen.
Okay, Troy.
I've just got to take a half second of my time to go back to Jordan. One of the two things about meetings, if we didn't read the disclaimer at the end saying we're basically not going to listen to you, maybe somebody else would show up for the meeting, right? Secondly, if we did agendas that you could understand, hit VoteChoiceLaw.com or VoteChoiceLaw on Facebook tonight. I'll post Salt Lake County today's agenda compared to the last agenda for Uinta County, and you'll see there's a huge difference. There's no reason we can't do better. Thirdly, how many commission meetings do we cancel each month? Two? Two out of four? Not good. As far as plows, and, I guess having worked with the county, I do understand there's a lot of different roads that are private roads, and so I do know that some of that probably is a misunderstanding as far as what is considered county road, what is considered private road. But I'm with you, and I've got the ear of Scott Hardman. We can work that out.
Okay, thank you very much. We have room for one more. Jeff Scholl, let's make a quick...
Good, I don't have to introduce myself.
Jeff Scholl is with the Uinta County Republican Party. What position do you have now?
I'm a just delegate.
You're a delegate. All right, thank you.
So when our founding fathers created our country, they did so with a separation of powers. You have an executive branch, you have a judicial branch, and you have a legislative branch. Unfortunately, here in Uinta County, what I have noticed and what I have seen multiple times is an all-for-one, one-for-all type of environment. What I mean by that is that you have the commissioners, you have the attorney, and you have the all doing the same thing altogether in unison. There's no separation of those powers. One of the things that came up in not long ago was an allegation of misconduct with one of the employees of the county. The county attorney, as part of that, suggested that his loyalty was to the commission and not to the citizens.
And I think that was a dereliction of their duties. As a new commissioner, what will you do to ensure that there's a separation of powers and that, that you don't have that situation where people are in bed with one another?
Hey, that's the beautiful thing about being a strong personality. I'm not scared of anybody in there. Clerk Gov, that's going to help a lot with the, our auditor's office. Takes away the mystery of what he's doing. We can all see it. Just get in there, pull through. You know, we got to remember, my heroes, Thomas Paine, Abe Lincoln, those guys, they weren't so loyal to the party. I know some people are going to hate that. They weren't so loyal to the party. They were free thinkers. They believed in doing what's right. I will loudly believe in doing what's right, rooting out truth, talking about truth. And occasionally when the personality gets involved, you step back and go, okay, hey, personality's got involved a little bit here. We still got to get this work done. We still got to deal with truth. Back, get them out there. This just takes a bull. I'm a bull. We'll get it done.
Okay, very good. Do you have one final word? Last word, Willis and Fever.
There has been a lot to talk, and we all hear the jokes around about the fourth commissioner, fifth commissioner, and one thing else. We got to remember when it comes down to it, there's three votes currently, and that's it, and each of them just has one vote. Who you listen to, what you let into your ear, what you let into your mind, what you let into your heart, what you're willing to do, standing on your own core values and your own beliefs. I can't say it enough. Our individual behaviors is absolutely critical. And we can't allow that. As far as the clerk auditor goes, and some of those issues, if that is an issue, I hope it comes out. I hope it gets taken care of. If it takes prosecution, it takes prosecution. Not so someone's punished, but so they can start a repentance process. And same with the commission. I've heard treason. I've heard of all kinds of things. And all that stuff has to get rooted out and taken care of. And it boils down to individual behaviors. It's just nothing short of that.
Okay, Willis Lefevre and Torres Law candidates for the Uinta County Commission CC. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the audience who is attending here today. I'd like to thank the Uinta County Library staff for the accommodations that they have made for us here this evening. This is a beautiful facility, and we should be proud of it as a community. I'd like to thank the Uinta County Clerk's Office. The staff there is outstanding to work with on all election issues. We have some of the most trustworthy elections, I think, in the state of Utah. We should be proud of them. I'd like to thank our Uinta County Commissioners, all three of them. Regardless of how you feel politically on issues, they are three people who are dedicated to service of the citizens of Uinta County. We might think differently. We might be opposed to them on certain issues, but we should always respect our civic leaders, and I hope that we can go forward with that thought in mind. I'd like to thank the numerous employees with the Uinta County who provide the services that we take for granted every day. Each one of us utilizes these services, and I think we don't even think about them. So thank you to all of the employees of Uinta County, and I'd like to thank the citizens of Uinta County for your involvement in our political issues. Remember that an informed public will elect competent civic leaders, so stay informed and get active. I'm Steve Evans with Evans Family Media. This is being broadcast live on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KBEL. Now, let's go back to the Mark Levin Show on KBEL.
Leading the way in conservative talk, I'm Mark Levin, and this is KVEL.